We live in a truly terrible world where children are preyed upon, abducted, raped, assaulted, and murdered. Sadly, thousands of child abductions and murders are never solved, and their killers are never brought to justice. Now, police spend decades trying to bring closure to families. Parents die without ever knowing who is responsible for their child's murder. However, a new form of media created for entertainment is turning into one of the best tools for solving some of the most brutal crimes committed against children. But what does this say about the current state of law enforcement? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. Million children are reported missing worldwide each year. There is nothing more frightening as a parent than the thought you have lost your child. Seconds feel like hours, and minutes feel like eternity, where even the strongest of individuals find them pragmatically thinking, scrambled by panic and fear. In the United States alone, an average of 2,300 children are reported missing every day, the highest number recorded by any country around the globe. The ones who don't see a resolution immediately face not only having to worry about the well-being of their loved one, but as time goes by, overworked law enforcement making their case less a priority with time. This is where true crime podcasts have become very important in solving crimes. Not only do these podcasts continue to put a spotlight on cases that seem to be gathering dust or have hit a dead end in terms of leads, but in some cases have even helped correct the record regarding past allegations. But what does it say about the current state of law enforcement if we have to rely on a form of media to act as detectives and investigators in serious cases involving the endangerment of one of our most vulnerable populations? Let's get the perspective of two people on this issue and bring in Lynn Shaw, who is the founder and president of Lynn Warriors, an organization working to educate communities about the escalation of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. And Lauren Conlin, who is a podcaster and reporter with a focus on true crime and pop culture. Currently, she is the host of Pop Crime TV. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies.
Thank you, Scotty, for having us.
Lauren, I want to start with you because over the past few years, you've done numerous podcasts focused on crimes and disappearances involving juveniles. Tell me about some of the stories you've been recently been covering.
Yes, Scotty, you said it so perfectly. It is so tragic what is happening globally and in our country as well, in America. What I've been covering are stories about children who go missing that don't get the attention that they deserve after a month has passed, 2 months have passed, 3 months have passed. We know all too well that once we hit this three-month mark, their name disappears from headlines. So, for example, I was on a YouTube Live this morning discussing the mysterious disappearance of Sebastian Rogers out of Tennessee. This poor boy disappeared without a trace. And what's so tragic here is that each lead that we thought might lead to finding Sebastian turned out to be nothing. Now, at this point, when nothing is happening and the investigation appears to be cold, what we can do as content creators, journalists, YouTubers, we can be the ones to keep the children's name out there, keep their faces out there to ensure that they are not forgotten. Because as you said, law enforcement is tired. They are overworked. They are underpaid, and they are getting new cases every single hour.
You know, it's interesting because, Lynn, the numbers are staggering regarding the various crimes involving kidnapping, some of the ones that Lynn has just referenced. It's also the exploitation, even the violence that's happening against children in the present day. Do you think there's a certain community that seems to be more targeted at this state?
Absolutely. First of all, the target goes to our most vulnerable. the most vulnerable, Scotty, we don't talk about them enough. These are communities of color, marginalized communities, kids who don't have parents or caretakers even looking for them. They are a predator's delight. We have to always, this is like a big wheel with a lot of spokes. So we have to really kind of break it down. We can't have these mass statements. You know, why are so many kids missing? First of all, we have a lot of runaways because they cannot continue living in a home where they are physically or sexually abused, so they run away. That opens the door for the predators because they're there within 24 hours. We used to say 24 to 48. Now we're saying 24 hours or less. Somebody is out there on the street or online waiting for them. We also have to talk about most of the children that go missing. Over 60% of the cases. Now remember, stats we tell you about, they're always higher. But we know over 60% that child missing has something to do with a family member or someone they know. So it is not that traditional story of always that white van, a complete stranger picking them up. Yes, that does happen. But we have to look closer at the family members and at the community around the children. And also, we throw out 2,300 missing children a day. I use that stat every day. That number's been around a long time. So it has to be higher because now we have open borders. So we have more unaccompanied minors flowing into the United States, dispersed all over, that nobody is even talking about. So there's lots of issues. And as far as law enforcement, again, they don't have enough resources, money, manpower, woman power, whatever you want to call it, or even training to know how to handle the escalation. Every 3 seconds, a child is missing. How can anybody keep up with these astonishing numbers? People should be out in the streets screaming about this.
And yet they're not. And that's always surprising to me. That's why your voices are so important to be heard on the airwaves. Lauren, of the crimes that you're seeing that are happening against children, what is the motivation of the perpetrator? And what trends are you seeing, and whether or not these perpetrators actually know their victims, or do they just select strangers? And how is this different from the past?
Well, as Lynn stated, over 60% of children are abducted by someone they know or a family member, and 30% are abducted by strangers. And of those 30%, almost all of them are abducted by men. Almost all of them. That is the trend we're seeing right now. And just to add to what Lynn said, the type of children that are targeted, I mean, it's the age-old saying, kids that come from broken homes. I just read former FBI Frank Figluzzi's book on human trafficking and sex trafficking. And there's a lot of information in here that points to the fact that young kids that are in special ed are even targeted. And that was pretty eye-opening to me as well. So, I mean, and you know what? I just want to put it out there that nobody is above this. No child is above this. It could happen to anyone. So everybody should stay vigilant regardless.
Well, and I think one of the things is if you come from a more affluent, wealthy community, neighborhood, you probably get a lot more attention than a lot of those that just kind of get pushed to the wayside. You know, there was this missing children's panic, Lynn, that I remember from the 80s and 90s. It was called Stranger Danger Era. And it led to state governments, but also federal governments level, to push for multiple bipartisan tough on crime bills. So let's talk about the legislative side of it and preventing it. You know, who actually is responsible for preventing these types of crimes against children? You mentioned the open border, how that is largely impacting today a lot of the trafficking that's happening. Do you think this is something that needs to be done, handled more responsibly by legislation, the justice system? Or do you think, as our friend Lauren pointed out, shouted from the streets, people talking about this, should citizens become more proactive?
Scotty, all of the above. First of all, we have so much bipartisan legislation. We work on that continually in our state capitol. I'm in New York, up in Albany, also on the federal level. We do have laws on the books. Now, they're just not enforced. That's the bottom line. That's the reality of what's going on. What we need to do, though, when you have a situation, for example, now in California, you can buy a 16 or 17-year-old, a sex buyer, and it's a misdemeanor, whereas Senator Shannon Grove was pushing very hard to make buying any child, any minor, a felony. So when we get knocked down on these things across the country, it is very disturbing. Why? We have to ask, like, why? Why in Washington both sides of the party, everybody in the middle pushing for Kids Online Safety Act. We have to throw the internet into all of this. Because going back a little bit, every child is affected because children have access to four devices ages 9 to 17. So anywhere there's a vulnerability, that predator, that creep, that monster is going to step in. But when we have Senator Chuck Schumer, and I am a constituent of his here in New York, when he is the Senate House Majority Leader, and just the other day, at the last minute, it was going to a final vote, COSA, Kids Online Safety Act. Everybody's excited. And you know what? They just canceled it. We can't go to a vote. We're just going to take it off the floor for today. Now, it's almost the end of the legislative session. Why do we have this? What is the holdup? Why? How come children are chattel? Why is this even allowed when so many are fighting and talking about this? We have to ask. Everybody has to be responsible because while we fight for the legislation and it's not going through, there's a lot of red tape. Children are being abused. Children are being abducted, sex trafficked, labor trafficked. So communities in the home. Community creates change. Everybody has to be on board with this. And I'm going to say it again. People should be out in the streets saying, my goodness, we cannot allow this enough. These are our precious children, our future adults, our future leaders.
This should be something that shouldn't be political. I'm sorry. We have a lot of things in this country, around the world, in fact, that are Republican, Democrat, left, right, conservative, liberal. This should not be one of those issues. And yet, you're seeing it as almost like they don't want to give the other side a win, so they don't care if the child is the one that loses. So it's real interesting because, Lynn, I need to follow up on something you said, because you talked about how these children are coming from, you know, Lauren mentioned how they were coming from broken homes. Why is it we have shelters for women who are abused? We have shelters for animals that are abused. We have Humane Society. We don't actually have necessarily safe places outside of the police where these children feel like they can run away and still be safe and be protected potentially from their own parents, their own homes. Why do you not think that there's not a push for abused children homes, that not necessarily adoption or those sorts of homes, that children feel like they can go and seek shelter and refuge from?
Listen, we have, you know, child protective, this, that, and the other thing. The bottom line
is, they don't work, Lynn. They do not work. That's the one thing. Often they don't.
But that's just it. Yeah. That's just it, Scotty, because everyone I have spoken to, people my age who have gone through the system, for instance, they come from an abused home, so they run away. The law takes them under their wing. Where do they put them? In one of these homes. And what happens? Every one of them, Scotty, they don't even know each other, over the years has told me they've been re-victimized, re-traumatized, re-trafficked. So that whole system in our country does not work. Why aren't people getting rid of that system, cleaning this up? All it takes is building new buildings, building new ranches, getting vetted. I mean vetted, because look at all the stories we have now of people working with children and teens. You know, we hear these stories, whether it's somebody from a church, a synagogue, a nursery school, a high school, all these sex stories all of a sudden, and this violation of children. So that whole system, foster care, you know, has to be reimagined. It has to be redone completely. Who's going to do that? Because it's that same old argument that we don't have the money, we don't have the resources, it's not in our budget. Right now, this should be, in my opinion, the number one issue happening, because this affects all of us. No one is exempt from any of this. Every town, city, and rural area in America is affected by our children being exploited. Why are we allowing the exploitation of our children? You pointed out stranger danger. I mean, people went in for, we have to have seatbelts, don't drink, don't take drugs, you got to wear a bicycle helmet. Where is the safety for online? It comes down to the home. It comes down to also educating that child. You are worth more than dealing with a stranger on your phone, right? You don't have to lift your top up for OnlyFans to make $5, right? You are worth more. We have a lot of like societal issues that are playing into this, again, because we've all been put through in the last few years a lot of vulnerabilities. And that's a separate program. So now we're seeing the effects of what's happening to our children and all of us.
So, Lynn, here's my, you know, you talk about the victimization and everything that's going on with the kids in those homes that are happening right now and the actual legislation that doesn't exist to protect them. Are we finding that the children then run away from that story, or is those people that are in charge of them once again, just continue to re-victimize and are actually, they basically have been turned into the system, into even a deeper, darker place than they were before.
Scotty, the whole thing is corrupt.
Right.
Just think about it as an example, a 14-year-old. You have no family behind you. You have nothing to go to. You're put in a home. You're re-victimized, re-traumatized. You need a bed to sleep in, a meal to eat. You go back for that. And then your brain, the little brains that aren't developed until you're well into your 20s, they begin to become brainwashed. They don't know any difference. They can't get out of this vicious cycle. I am not understanding. There are so many stories that we know of these places, of foster care. It's very hush-hush. Why is it so hush-hush? How did these children get there in the first place? Let's deal with that. Why, when I live by places here in New York where children are supposed to be safe and I can walk by and say, that guy's a trafficker, that guy's a pimp, that guy's waiting, I can pick them out, and this is allowed. And again, we work with law enforcement, we support them. They are not being armed with what is exactly going on, or are they being given the resources? I hear this from all the human trafficking courts we have. We don't have enough judges, we don't have enough training. And so it is such a big problem that I really think in 2024, this should be on the top of everybody's list of what's going on. Because remember, all of this is trickling down into different kinds of crimes. We've got sextortion with teenage boys. The FBI's put out 3 warnings so far. And yet, when I talk to people about this and try to educate them what's going on, they push back at me. They fight. They say things like, that doesn't happen here. My child would never do that. Well, we know they're doing it because the numbers are escalating every hour of every day right here in the United States.
Well, Lynn, I know it's the top of your list, hence why you're continuing to be such a strong voice in the movement. Stay right there. Because there are over 23,000 true crime podcasts on record as of today. But are these podcasts just for entertainment purposes, or do they aid in solving these stagnant cases and possibly helping those victims that might have not voices been heard? We're going to discuss this all after the break. Welcome back. In 2014, Serial, the first true crime podcast, debuted. And since then, the genre has far outpaced all other subjects and remained number one. True Crime Media invites people into the lives of serial killers, kidnappers, assaulters, law enforcement, and even in some cases, the victims. The genre challenges the listeners to solve the mystery and link clues together before the detective or the season finale. Now, according to the website ThriveWorks, the true crime genre gives insight into the use of forensics in real-life cases and shares ways people have defended themselves against a potential attacker. Listening to a true crime is a way for normal people to solve mysteries and escape from reality. But while some use fictional elements, podcasts have become a popular way for victims or victims' families to seek information, which can lead to either the solving of the crime or justice for the perpetrator. Now, podcasts have become very popular for those seeking answers to continue their search, including desperate parents and families. So I want to bring back in our guest, Lynn Shaw, founder and president of Lynn's Warriors, and Lauren Conlon, host of Pop Crime TV. Welcome back, ladies. Lauren, your podcast often deals with stories of missing or murdered children. What is the feeling you get from parents when they come on the show and their motivation?
Well, Scotty, they are so grateful for a voice. I mean, parents will do anything to find their child. And when a parent comes on a podcast, I believe that they've exhausted all resources. They've been on the news media, they've spoken to police, and now they've gone the route of podcasting. So anytime I speak to a parent, what they tell me is that they are certain that someone out there knows something and someone will come forward eventually, because as soon as the word is spread through podcasting, through YouTubers, through these mediums like Reddit even, I mean, it's almost more effective than the news. So every parent I speak to is grateful, but they are at their wit's end here and they'll simply do anything. I mean, I think you said this before, parents do not want to go to their grave without finding out what happened to their child or where their child is.
Lynn, you also have a very popular podcast. It actually focuses on sex trafficking and what is going on in the country. But do you feel like law enforcement takes you or the information you garner seriously, considering the medium that you're coming from?
I will be completely honest. No. I think, again, they are so overwhelmed with all the other issues happening in our country, this falls to the bottom of the barrel. Again, I don't know why, because there's nothing more precious than our beautiful children. They just don't have the bandwidth. And they tell me this. They say, Lynn, you know, they'll say, you know, stop, you know, leave it alone because we don't have anywhere to put that 12-year-old. Now, what, ladies, what a sad comment that is on society. I'm in the middle of New York City and we have a child and we don't know what to do with a 12-year-old who's out, you know, we've just gotten out of a dangerous situation. That is unacceptable. So I think as far as taking it seriously, you know what? It's also dark. It's also ugly. I don't think they're focusing on this. I don't think they're concentrating on this. I don't think the care is really there. And I'm sort of not even blaming them. Their hands are sort of tied. Where can they bring all these children? Where can they bring all these people? We don't have facilities. We don't have the mental health. We don't have, you know, the doctors on board to look at them. We have to remember these are abused people for the most part. A lot of issues, again, think of it as a big wheel with like a lot of spokes turning that wheel around. So much is going on. Then again, we work with some great, great law enforcement across the country. Changes are coming. You're going to see a lot of new initiatives happening in 2025 that I'm so proud of. And you are going to see law enforcement in many different states really stepping up because they are now saying, forget it, this is unacceptable.
Okay, so Lynn, we've talked a lot about what is going on in America, but this is something going on around the world. Do you think one of the reasons do you really believe that America has the worst in child sex trafficking and kidnapping in all of the cases that put America at the top of the list? Do you really believe that's accurate, or is it just because that America has more of a better accounting system to know that those numbers are happening and there's still just as large of a problem happening in other countries?
Listen, I think what goes on in America is top of the list. This is what we focus on. We just had the Trafficking in Persons report put out, the 2024 report. It gives different tiers. It's kind of technical to this country, that country. Of course, China's on it, Russia's on it, Belarus. And I'm like, but where's the United States on this report? Of course, it's something offered by our State Department. So we'll leave that alone for a minute. No, I don't think there's good reporting. Remember, anything we're talking about or telling you about or these stats we're giving out, I've been told by law enforcement or experts in the field that these could be double or triple, these numbers. Nobody really knows. This is so dark. So much of this stuff is so hidden. Nobody really knows anything. This is the best number we have. So I think the United States is at fault because you know what? We say, you know, we're the best in the world and we're going to take care of our people. And what are we doing? We're allowing all this. So of course, it's a global problem.
Right.
But you know what? We have to work on what's in our own backyard first to strengthen our country, which is falling apart with this issue of child abuse, sex trafficking, and don't forget labor trafficking. It's a lot going on in the United States with kids working at jobs they should not be working at, and nobody's talking about that.
No, absolutely. In these last few minutes, Lauren, I've got to ask you, in your case, because I sort of did the same question to Lynn, do you get frustrated in working with law enforcement as well as the justice system and feel like you're sometimes having to do their job for them?
I do feel badly saying so, but yes, I get frustrated all the time. But of course I understand. Law enforcement, they don't owe me anything. They don't owe you anything. And unfortunately, if your child goes missing, they don't owe the parents anything either because parents are considered suspects until they're not.
Well, and that's the thing, Lynn, you know, to tag onto what Lauren was saying, a lot of this has to do with the law enforcement and the frustration at it. Real quick, I've got to ask you, how do you feel about how is the impact of the open border having on the child sex trafficking as well as the labor trafficking that you so often speak of?
Oh, my goodness. It is impacting everything. And if you think it's not affecting you, it is, because we have over 500,000 minors we know about. Now, also, these children are being processed. You know, there was something called the Flores Agreement. The Biden administration just did away with it. Nobody's even talking about this. I can't find one person even mentioning it, which said we will hold an unaccompanied child in a facility and we will vet until we find where they're supposed to go, to that responsible adult, that family member, right? This was undone 20 days, the Flores agreement. Now they just announced 72 hours. You want the kids in and out. And they're saying, because, you know, in these facilities, children are abused. Well, we know from our work with the border that cars are picking kids up. Trucks are picking up 10, 20 kids. Where's the media on this? We don't know. One man picking up 20 kids. Where are they going? We also know when there's follow-up done, they're like, we're too busy. We didn't do any follow-up. We don't know. They're not answering the phone number they gave us. Where are all these children? And they are dispersed into all of the United States. And let me remind you, the cartels are complicit, in my opinion, operating with our U.S. government hand in hand in the biggest human trafficking operation in the world. So what is everybody going to say about that? I think it's time that we start speaking up, speaking out. This is unacceptable. We have NGOs making millions upon millions with their work on the border. They've got black sheets hanging up. You can't ask questions. You can't take pictures. Where are these children going? They're put in, they're put out, and they're ending up. Again, the cartels are working. Are they continuing to put them into forced labor? Because, you know, once you get here now, it's a whole new story with the border. You still have something called debt bondage. You're not free once you get here. You have to continually pay back these cartels. I think these are the issues we should be talking about.
And yet there's a lot of silence coming from the people who could actually make a difference. Thank you, Lynn Shaw of Lynn's Warriors and Lauren Conlon of Pop Crime TV, for this very important discussion. In 1996, the Amber System began and was named after Amber Hagerman, a 9-year-old little girl who was abducted and murdered in Arlington, Texas. The Amber Alert program has been credited with the safe return of over 1,000 children and has expanded with technology to include text messages, television alerts, and electronic highway signs. This is just one of the latest advancements used by law enforcement to combat the kidnapping and trafficking of minors. However, children who go missing are overwhelmingly runaways, non-custodial parent kidnappings, or even just kids who got briefly lost while walking home. Yet the headlines that continue to occur in Western television involve the kidnapping and murder of minors by those crossing the southern border of the United States illegally. Yet to law enforcement credit, the perpetrators are often caught promptly. The same cannot be said about domestic cases in the U.S., which have not only days, but decades have gone by with little movement by law enforcement to find the missing child in question. Sadly, from the moment the abduction happens, with every minute on the clock that goes by, the less of a chance of a happy ending. This is my perspective. Find me on X at Scotty N. Hughes, and let me know yours by using the hashtag SNH Perspective. See you next time.